So we're in a process through our practice of healing our relationship with ourselves. And what I want to share before we break for lunch is a little reflection on what healing is and a teaching from a Buddhist teacher who wrote a book, In the Lap of the Buddha, Gavin Harrison. How many people are familiar with him? So you have a handout of his that we're going to read now and when we come back. But before I go into that, would you like to share? Okay, so you have a microphone and share your name with everybody again.
Hi, thank you. During the break, I was talking to Paul, and I said to him, you know, I suffer from a lot of rage, and he said, that's not all of who you are. You're also loving and kind and generous, and all those things are also true. But my relationship to my anger has really defined a good part of my life. And what I learned today, kind of in non-striving listening to Paul when he was talking, was that, you know, my anger and my rage, I used to view as a reaction to my trauma, and now I view, just as an epiphany this morning in hearing Paul talk, is really protecting me from my trauma. And I used to judge myself mercilessly for how angry I got. And now I'm in a position where I can kind of gracefully bow to my rage and thank it for trying to protect me from all the horrible harm that was done to me. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's the context of what I was sharing about the lady who was hating her fat her whole life, and she had to see it differently. You know, she still wanted to get rid of it, but it was there for a reason. We'll talk in the afternoon in a particular therapy, not to emphasize the therapy, but the principles underneath it. In the guest house, all parts are welcome. Our anger is welcome, our shame is welcome, our fat is welcome, our wounds are welcome, because when we judge them and try to get rid of them, we establish a connection that's not healing, that's not in its essence allowing the transformation to take place. And what's beautiful about mindfulness and compassion is the nature of the practice brings us to that kind of shift in relationship. That's why I emphasize those intentions, because so many of us, myself included, we work so hard at getting rid of, at fixing, at curing, at not being the way we are, at hating it, at, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. It keeps it going. That becomes our conditioning. That's our addiction. You know, Mrs. Jones just needed to not go on another diet. That was her addiction. The weight was just a symptom of that. We can look at our anger that way, and we can look at every aspect of what we do as the gift of awakening, as our teacher, if we choose to. And that's the choice when we come down to, you know, step one, oh my God, this hurts, and not avoiding it or denying it. And accepting is not giving up, it's the opposite. It's just acknowledging, this is from whence I start. Now I can begin to recover. And the same is true with trauma. We have to first recognize it, accept it, and then we can begin to bring the tools of mindfulness and compassion in a healing way to come to terms with it. We'll talk about that in the afternoon. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Alice. What you just said really hit me a lot in terms of, you know, when we judge the negative aspects or whatever negative, our shame and rage and whatever, it just keeps perpetuating it. And I'm an artist in a small art community, part of a bigger art world. And I see kind of these dynamics of judgment and shunning and exclusivity, like being like huge barriers to creating like an actual radical community of artists, which I have no institutional training, and it's kind of like my only place, and it really hurts me to see these kind of these power dynamics play out between people all the time. And I was thinking, like, I don't know, like, how could we apply that to like interpersonal social dynamics and in a more like social context, like a community context or something? Because, like, I mean, obviously when we're hurting ourselves, we're like gonna keep doing that to other people, and then it's a whole web of power that sucks.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know, how I see all of that is what we all want universally is safety and connection. That's like universal needs. What we all want is, I see you, I hear you, I care, I give you space to be who you are. That's what an artist is screaming, to share their truth, and without people judging them as that's right or wrong or good or bad. I was at the new museum downtown on Bowery, and there was a new exhibit there. I forget the artist's name. And it was interesting because I'm using the word weird in a strange way, because I really admired the courage. She's like free to just express what her vision of the truth is, right? Even if people think this is like really weird and it's like strange. I don't know if you've been there. It was a multimedia, mixed media, multimedia type of exhibit, which was, you know, quite interesting. But in many ways, we all want, whether we're artists or people, we just want to be who we are and be seen for that. I know I shared with you my story a little bit. I spent my whole childhood screaming, you know, there's something wrong with daddy. Can't anybody see that? Right. So it's not surprising that, which I'll tell a little later, you know, professionally, that's what I do. For 40 years, I'm screaming at my profession. Can't you see there's a mind-body connection, and the reason people have stomach aches is because they came from a wounded childhood? You know, sometimes I didn't always do that in a nice way. I had my own anger and judgment and blame that I had to work through. You know, we all have to see that stuff. But that's what we want. You know, we all want to be seen and acknowledged, and that's love. We want affection, we want appreciation, we want to be seen, and the parts of us that are hurting, that's why we, you know, that's what they want too. That's why they're hurting. they didn't get seen, they didn't get heard, they didn't get acknowledged, you know. They carried all of that stuff with them. Okay. Go ahead.
So, like, because I've confronted a lot of these, like, abusive power dynamics in my communities for a really long time, because I'm a confrontational person also. But I'm thinking, like, you know, if I was to create, like a series of art shows or something that was, like, trying to apply this theory of mindfulness that we use to ourselves for everybody to kind of, like, try to radically transform these power dynamics that are happening.
Right.
Do you think that's a worthwhile experiment or something? And framing it, like, we all want to be seen, instead of, like, you're all classist. Yeah.
Well, you have to be careful with the effort, a non-striving way. So what I will say to you is, I've been much more effective when I let go of wanting and needing to be effective than when I was banging my head and their heads against the wall to get what I wanted them to get, that they weren't always getting. And that's where the context of be the change you want to see is really quite helpful. It's quite paradoxical that, you know, when you let go, when you fully change, things do shift in that way, as you shared, whether it's to our fat or to our anger or whatever. And, you know, the doorway is always to look inside of ourselves first, I think. You know, even with what do we do about the world today? You know, how do I find peace in that? How do I come with love and compassion? How do I, and then act from that place is the context of that. So, you know, bring whatever you get on the pillow into your life. That's what we want to do. I'm talking about bringing it into your pain and your woundedness and your trauma. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Hello. Hi, my name is Pat again, and I just wanted to make a comment, because I guess I also had an epiphany during this morning when I realized that when I first discovered mindfulness, I thought it was the greatest thing in the whole world. I thought it was going to cure me. I was going to cure the world with it. I Xeroxed copies of books and sent passages to people, and I kept meditating and kept meditating up to 2 hours a day, but I still wasn't getting, and my relationships did change and improve, and my life improved, but I still wasn't getting to the core of something, and I never understood what that was. I could never figure out why I couldn't get to the bottom of something, and I feel like a woman I read about, and I didn't understand it at the time, who was delighted with mindfulness and delighted with meditating, having a grand old time. She was in the sky, pie in the sky all the time, feeling fabulous. And then somebody said to her, something happened, and they said to her, okay, you've been in the sky, and now we're going to start doing the real hard mining work. You know, we're going to start at the bottom of the mountain and start discovering what's the real cause of what's bothering you. The other stuff, nice and floaty and like getting high, but now we're going to get to the real bottom of things. And that's what I feel I've heard this morning.
Thank you. Let's practice. And, you know, I don't like to think about, does it work? That's just not a language I like to use, because I think it starts from, I'm doing it to make something happen. What I will say to you, yes, it works, but I don't want to engage you to use it to work. That's just another context. Just a shift of how you choose to look at it. So there's zillions of studies about the power of mindfulness. It's not just me. I'm not making this stuff up. I learned from a whole host of people. Whatever word you want to use, I'm me, and I'm integrating what I've learned from a whole host of teachers, and they're all saying the same thing. That's what I'm trying to share with you. There's a line that I like: paths are many, truth is one. Therapies are many, healing is one. We're all doing the same thing. We can call it this and we call it that, but in many ways, at its core, the map is not the territory. We get caught in the map. So when we do things to make it work, we're caught in the map to get somewhere. What I said, that's the paradox. So yes, it works. It worked with depression, but I don't treat depression. I treat people and who they are and what's happening with them, and that's different than does it work for depression, because there's no such thing. Everybody's different. One person's depression is another person's sadness, is another person's anger, is another person's abuse. Who knows what their depression is about and how to be with it? That's just a perspective that I would share. So I want to caution you in the language, and I understand that, and I want you to learn whatever you've learned and apply it, but I want to caution you from, let me do this to make this work. Because then you're missing an essence of what I'm saying, which is, yes, but first start from acceptance and be with it as it is. Then it will work. Because, will this help me get rid of that? Then we're kind of doing the same dance that we talked about. No, I'm not saying you, I'm just using that in the language of, does it work? That's just my own sensitivity to that, if you appreciate what I'm saying. So what I'd like to share with you are two things. And thank you for that, because that's what I was emphasizing. Change how you look at it and change how you be with it. Without trying to change how you look at it and be with it, it happens. Because you're not striving, you're not trying to get rid of it, you're not judging it, you're being with it mindfully and compassionately. That's how you awaken. It's also how you heal. So I want you to look at two handouts. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me? Yeah. My name is Larry. I'm just wondering what you have to say about being with and meditating with very, very difficult emotions. Like, I, for example, struggle with overpowering feelings of hopelessness and terror and grief. and complete despair. I've come to recognize from my desperate research over the last year that I'm going through an experience that some people call a dark night of the soul. And I'm so, it's just so terrifying to go sit with these emotions.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what you could say about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was the plan for the afternoon was to talk about that, but to give you some ground in meditation and compassion so you could touch it. The context there, Larry, is what we call a window of tolerance. So it's not helpful to sit with it if it's overwhelming you and you're getting lost in it. On the other hand, you don't want to avoid it either. We have to acknowledge that there is this wound, there is this pain, there is this hole that I can fall in, and how do I begin to touch it so I can go in and out of what we would call a window of tolerance, my ability to be present with it and be aware of it. This is the paradox, because the reason it's there is because it's so hard and we've avoided it. And this afternoon, we'll give you a few tools that will assist you to do that. And yes, the focus is how do we be with our helplessness, like I said, scared and helpless and needs love, along with that often is hopelessness and despair. Along of that is worthlessness and shame, and Tara Brach speaks about all of that. And no question, it's quite overwhelming. And the reason I'm teaching today is because just sitting with it is not the answer, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to learn how to sit with it skillfully, compassionately, with support. Meditation by itself is not the answer. You might need a group, you might need a therapist, you might need a friend, you might need religion, you might need medicine, a whole host of factors that might help. I'm here teaching you a mindfulness and compassion component to be sensitive to what you just said. So we will talk about that this afternoon and hopefully give you some tools so you can begin to put your toe in the water in a way that you don't have to run away and you won't drown. You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand. Just wanted to say I do have a lot of those helping resources
Wonderful.
In place in my life.
Right.
And it's just I am seeking to go acquire it tools happened,
yeah.
that I can use with this stuff.
So the other context that I want to emphasize, which I would share, is recognize, and what I did initially, that there's another part of you that might be strong, that might be capable, that might be courageous, that might have the skills and tools to be present with that, and I have to help them meet each other.
You Thank
understand
you.
What I'm getting at?
Thanks.
Okay? So we'll talk about that this afternoon. That was my intention. Okay? But the first phase is to kind of recognize the trauma and develop some resources of mindfulness and compassion so that we can begin to touch it, okay? And welcome it. And as horrible the feeling is of the dark night of the soul, there's an opening and light at the other side. So while I hear you, I can have compassion for your pain and suffering, I know you have a place in you that's capable of being with it in a healing way. I want to try to support you to do that. And that will be the suffering that leads to the end of suffering. But I don't want to take you out of it. And I don't want to help you get rid of it. I want to help you open to it in a way that doesn't overwhelm you or cause you to fall in the hole of hopelessness and despair, even as you recognize that that is a place that you've been. You follow what I'm saying? And so we will explore that. That's the art. That's the challenge of the practice, is to recognize that. But it's not to fall in that hole and just go, oh, I'm being with it. That's why we're practicing, because being with it is not easy. Like I shared, I didn't go there. I just dissociated from it and thought I was enlightened. I won't say enlightened, but, oh, I can be with this. I just won't think about it. That's another way not to fall in the hole, if you follow my drift. So everybody has their own style for what we fall, the holes that we fall in.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.